Welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan. It is Tell Me Your Story, and I'm going to ask you to get a few things together as we get into our program. I'm going to ask you to get a mirror and something you already have, your face. And we're going to be talking about your face and what it says about you. My guest is Ramona Richards, and we're going to be talking to her live from Phoenix, Arizona, as we discuss face analysis. What does your face say about you? That walking billboard. Stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story.
Talk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And what a better way to help to understand yourself is to look in the mirror and look yourself squarely in the face and say, who am I? And what are those lines and bumps and wrinkles? And in my case, what are all those lumpy things on my head, since I have no hair on top, say about me as a person? Well, I don't know that we're going to go quite that high up the scale, but we're going to talk with Ramona Richards. She is a face analyst, and she's going to be telling us a little bit about our face, our ears, our eyes, our nose, our throat. No, she's not a doctor, but what they say about you as a person. Ramona, welcome to our program. It's nice to have you here on the program.
Nice to be here, Richard.
You know, one of the fascinating things is, as it says in some of the materials that I have about you and face analysis, is that everybody has one. And I'm wondering, how far around the head do we consider the face to go? Does it stop at the ears? Does it include the ears? How far up the scalp line into the hair? How far below the chin? In terms of setting up the parameters, and then we want to get into some specifics in regards to our face, what it says about us as we relate to people, and how we communicate with them. So, first of all, let's map the face. Where does it begin and end?
Well, we're talking about the head, actually.
Oh, okay. So it is the entire head.
All around the head, the upper part of the head and the back of the head and the ears. And so it's the face. It's like if you just, you know, if you just chopped the head off and you were examining it, there's an awful lot there to know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing about ourselves really helps us to communicate better with others and also to feel more comfortable and self-confident and more aware of abilities that we might not have been able to utilize while we were in school, because school didn't recognize those abilities. But if you recognize them and know that you have special traits, and everybody is very, very different, and yet we utilize the same traits, but the combinations of them make us unique as people.
Well, now, you've been doing this for quite a number of years.
Oh, about 100 years. Don't go into age here.
We won't. We certainly
won't. Watch yourself there.
Absolutely, absolutely. But at the same time, you have been doing this. Now, I'm wondering, have you ever found yourself sitting talking with someone and just in day-to-day conversation, maybe if you were here in studio with me, and you found yourself looking at this person and you're communicating and talking about the subject on the table, but in your mind you're going, well, that person has these characteristics, so their personality. So you start to sort of analyze them right there on the spot. Do you find yourself doing that?
I used to do it years ago, but I haven't for years, simply because this is a tool, like many, many of the ology tools, like graphology, which is handwriting analysis. And, I mean, you can do that, or you can really go to the heart of it all, which is energy fields, where we're all a bundle of frequencies and energies. We're all pure energy. And as you become more perceptive in yourself and more relaxed about life, you're very relaxed about picking up the energies around you. So I pick up a lot from people just by their energy fields. And because I can read their faces, I often don't do it just because I don't have their permission.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come to me and they ask me to give them an analysis of their face, that's fine. You know, I have their permission. But I don't sit there and psych people out. One thing that doesn't work, and I've found with all the ologies, if you use them as manipulative tools, you're missing the point. They're spiritual road marks that we can learn about ourselves and the bodies that we've chosen and the traits that we have and the abilities that we have, but they're not to be used as manipulative tools. I mean, a salesman can use certain things, but if you're going to sit down and just really see what I can do with this person and how I can use them, you don't get the nuances of it. Because, like, of all the traits in the head and the face, everything applies to everything else and slightly changes it. And you have to become really astute at it to understand those little nuances and the changes. But the big things, the overall just basic things we can talk about on the telephone, and people can look in the mirror and find things out about themselves. But if they really want to get into the study of it, then they'll notice that certain traits are modified by other traits. But the point of the whole thing is that our structures really define how their automatic use, and the term here is automatic. If you're structured a certain way, you're going to automatically do things in a certain way until you understand it, and then your choice supersedes the structure you're in, and you can change it.
Well, then, and we'll get into that also, because what that raises in my mind is that on the one hand, it's automatic. But then if you make a choice that mm-hmm. supersedes that automatic response because of that characteristic, mm-hmm. then that characteristic is no longer valid?
No, it's valid, but it just means that you have a greater choice. But you have to understand it first, mm-hmm. you know. And if you don't understand it first, that you're not going to be able to modify it consciously.
Now, the body is, in a manner of speaking, evolving as we go through our lives. It's said that every seven mm-hmm. years we actually have a brand new body cellularly.
Exactly.
And so forth.
Right.
So that raises the question that if I recognize that automatic response based upon that characteristic, and I make a new choice counter to that, or in a direction I want to go rather than automatically go, it stands to reason, maybe, I put this as a hypothetical, that maybe after 7 years, maybe that characteristic might change?
Well, there's some things. For instance, if you're an optimistic person, the corners of your mouth will probably go up. If you're pessimistic, they'll probably go down, but you change the thinking pattern and the corners of your mouth will change. And wrinkles in our face, we won't get into wrinkles today because that could take us a whole hour just on that. But all the lines in our face are formed by the way we think in certain areas of our face, whether it's a physical area or a thinking area or an emotional area, because the head is divided up into various areas. But you can actually lighten wrinkles, you can change them, they can become deeper. There's certain wrinkles that are badges of honor, like empathy lines around our eyes. Now, they can be caused from squinting at the sun, but they can also be caused from feeling at one with and understanding. And when you feel at one with, you kind of automatically smile, and it makes those little crinkles at the edge corners of your eyes. And in some countries, that's understood, and it's looked at as a beautiful thing. In our country, mostly women go and have those lines taken out, and they're actually badges of honor. So, there's a lot of stuff we can get into, but why don't we just go for a couple of things?
Sure.
Otherwise, we'll be kind of buttered all over the place and not get to anything.
And we'll get to that as we tell our listeners. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is faceologist or face analysist Ramona Richards out of Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to give you some information that you can use to basically make a difference in your life, move forward. And what you said at the beginning of the program, Ramona, I think is very appropriate, that this is not something we're presenting in an effort for you to manipulate the situations around you and others. This is an information to have you make changes in yourself so that you can go out and achieve. This is self-focused, folks. This is not to try to do things in the outside world. However, it will then have an impact on the outside world outside of you. So that's the direction that we want to take this. And you can find out more by going to my website, richarddugan.com, and going to the schedules page or the archives page and clicking on Ramona and Ramona Richards link, and it'll take you to a page that'll give you information. We may even talk a little bit about that as well. And you can also email me at richard@richarddugan.com if you'd like to get more information, and certainly encourage you to go to richarddugan.com for an archive of this and other programs that we've done over the course of time. Now, Ramona, let's talk a little bit about some of the specifics in reference to the characteristics having to do with relationships and how we deal mm-hmm. in relationships. And, of course, we're talking on the one-on-one, the significant other, etc., as well as, and this is part of the relationships, communicating.
And that's without, unless you're living in a cave someplace, you're going to need to learn to communicate verbally. Where do you think that is in our face?
I'm going to guess the eyes.
Well, there's a lot going on in the eyes, but actually verbal communication is the lips.
Okay, well, of course. I mean, radio,
and,
I should know. By the way, that's why I have a face for radio.
The mode of verbal communication for all of us. So it's everyone that has a mirror can look in their mirror and see whether their top lip is thin or full or in between. We can talk about that.
Okay.
Now, if you start off with a very thin top lip, I have a very thin top lip, and it's called conciseness. And it means that you like to express yourself in as few words possible. But maybe you can come off when you're being very brief by doing yep and nope. That can come off as, you know, being a little bit... you're just kind of being terse with other people.
A little snippy.
Because you're trying to be succinct.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a very thin top lip, you might think about when you're looking at other people how you can make your communication more comfortable for them. If they have a fuller top lip, a very generous, full, fluffy top lip, then they probably would like a few more adjectives and a bit more information. You know, if you ask me what time it is, I tell you what time it is. I don't tell you where I bought the watch and the trip to Europe and how this particular setting was designed by a famous artist and all that sort of thing, which a person with a very full, fluffy top lip might want to enjoy all that information.
Okay.
So if you're talking to me and I ask you a direct question, I want a direct answer.
Yeah.
But what I've had to learn in working with people and doing workshops all my life and giving speeches around the country is to give more information than I would automatically do.
Hmm. Okay. Well, now, as far as that's the upper lip.
That's the upper lip, right.
How does the lower lip, because again, all of the facial features come into play here. Does the lower,
sure,
how does the
absolutely.
Lower lip come into play in this?
And, and I'll tell you how they're modified, mm-hmm. too, in just a moment. We'll do the lower lip. The lower lip has to do with a trait called automatic giving. And the feature word here is automatic. The person is a giving person automatically. And if you say to them, would you? And they have a big, full, fluffy bottom lip, they'll say, sure. And maybe what you're asking them to help you with would take a great deal of time and take away from their own thing with their family and what their job is entailing. And they'd wind up with not enough time for themselves. So a very full bottom lip person needs to say, well, tell me about it. And then I have X amount of time, or I'd be able to give you X amount of this, but for their own protection, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. Even if you think about it for 60 seconds, you might save yourself some money or time that you, when you really thought it over, you might not want to give as spontaneously as your automatic trait wants you to do. Because the automaticity to a full, fluffy bottom lip is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And maybe that's not the best thing for you.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
A person with a very narrow bottom lip will automatically think it over. It doesn't mean that they're less generous. It means that their generosity is thought out, and they've given it some scrutiny. And if they say, yes, I will contribute to this, or I will do that, they've thought about it.
You can take a look at a person's upper and lower lip, and obviously you can see an awful lot in that person. And the thought that came to my mind was, and I know we're focusing on relationships here, but being in broadcasting and radio in particular, and the old phrase, I have the face for radio, You have been in the entertainment field and around people in the broadcast and television and radio and TV and movies and so forth. And I'm wondering, do you see characteristics in the facial features of people in given careers that lends them in
absolutely.
That direction?
Absolutely. But sticking to the lip, for instance, mm-hmm. I work with actors because I coach actors and I give classes in acting. I've been doing it for over 30 years. I tell actors when they go to an audition and someone's saying, tell me something about yourself, do look at the director or whoever is auditioning you, their top lip. Because tell me something about yourself may mean 30 seconds usually.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a big, full, fluffy lip and they start asking you other questions, then you can give more information. But if you just patter on, they're going to say next and they think, oh my God, I'm so glad I got rid of that actor. Now, there are things that modify it. For instance, whether you're loquacious or not has to do with your teeth.
Mm.
And people that have an overbite, a protruding top level of teeth that protrude over their bottom teeth are a bit more loquacious. They want to talk about more things, and that's their teeth are angled outward. So they may have a thin top lip, but if you see teeth that are angled outward, they will talk more and they want more information. If the person's teeth are turned in or straight up and down, they will probably just give you what you've asked about. They're less willing to discuss personal feelings with someone they don't know.
Hmm.
And they can appear to kind of hold back on their personal feelings, and that's because they're really very practical about thinking about it. If you tell them a secret, they're probably not divulge that secret to anyone until they ask your permission. Where if the person who has the outer top teeth over, you know, going over their bottom teeth, just about everything could be printed in the LA Times, and they'll tell you stuff. And it's okay for you to tell things that they've told you, and they expect that it's okay for them to be able to say things that you've told to them. So you need to, if you want them to keep your confidence, you need to say something to them and say, I'm telling this to you. Please keep this in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because they don't understand. A good example was I had a client whose husband, teeth turned in, which is kind of the joke is, I told you I loved you back in 1935. Why are you asking me now? You know? So she had a group, this is a true story, she had a group of girlfriends in, and they were playing cards, and as women will get talking, they were all talking about their sex lives and their lovers and the things, and all she said was, my husband is a wonderful lover. That's all she said. She, no details, nothing more. But he was passing through the dining room onto the kitchen when he heard this. And he was quite upset with her for a couple of days because his teeth turned back in. And as far as he was concerned, anything personal about their life, particularly their love life, was between the two of them.
Mm.
And she should not have divulged that.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important in that kind of a situation or similar that you get permission. I mean, okay, you've shared this with me. Is this in confidence or otherwise?
Yeah.
At the same time, the person sharing the information should also make that clear. I'm sharing this with you in confidence.
Right, yeah, and particularly if they have, if you have a thin top lip and the person you're talking with has a big, fluffy, full lip. And, of course, in our society, the big, fluffy lips are in style.
Okay.
Angelina Jolie, you know.
We're talking about Botox injections.
No, I don't think so.
No?
With her. No,
oh,
I think those
okay.
are her natural lips.
Oh, okay.
But you are talking Botox. And so
yeah.
if you're talking with people, say the person did have a thin top lip and now they have lots of Botox. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
That may change it for a while, but there's still a concise person underneath that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to learn that people are going to give them a lot more information than they want.
Mm-hmm.
See, a thin top lip person will ask you for more information if they want it. But if you keep pushing it at them, they're going to turn off and not listen to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put injected Botox in there and people are giving you a lot more information, you've got to realize that your inner trait is still working and you're going to have to change that to match the outer appearance. Because we all basically, as spiritual entities, know what we're looking at.
Okay.
But personality-wise, we forget it.
And, of course, I was not speaking disparagingly of Angelina Jolie. I was speaking in general.
Well, I don't think she has Botox for anybody that just tuned in.
I don't know, but needless to say, we do want to make sure that everything that we say in this program is it's kept confidential. Just between you and me, Ramona.
Oh, yeah.
No one else can we won't say anything else to anyone else. Now, in terms of the corners of the mouth, you've already mentioned one characteristic: up, optimistic; down, pessimistic.
Right.
And, of course, that then goes and plays into the other two aspects of the upper and lower lip. What further can you tell us in reference to the corners of the lip? Because the mouth is a very expressive part of the face, unlike the stiller parts like the eyes, the nose, and the ears. The mouth is, you know, when you're talking, it is constantly moving.
Yeah.
So well, what about the corners?
We form lines around our mouth. Sometimes you'll see very, very deep lines around the edge of the person's face. And this is a person who, by forming those lines, they tense the muscles there, and they try very hard to be understood. They want very much to be understood in what they're saying, and it forms those very deep lines. I had these lines when I was 5 years old simply because I came in stuttering, and for me to form a word was very difficult. And I could go and have, I guess, Botox put in there, but they'd come back because I still have the same speech pattern. Now that I'm an older funny and some of my vocabulary has been lost due to car accidents and things like that, bumps in the head, I still want to find the right words, and I can't always find them anymore. But when I was young, I would tense these muscles and make these deep lines around it, trying to find the exact nuance of word that was exactly right to make it very clear of what I wanted to say and how I wanted to say. It's called oral self-expression. And that's the depth of the lines from the nose to the mouth. And the person says what they feel, and they mean what they say, and they want to make every word count. So that's what makes those lines. And you can go and have them taken out, but you're going to have to keep having them come back. So, you know. There's certain things like our noses keep growing, our ears keep growing. You can do certain things structurally to your face as far as surgery and things, but mm-hmm. It's not going to change it. It's going to come back, and that's one of the places it's going to continue to come back.
I keep wondering then about Pinocchio and his nose, and it's constantly growing.
Well,
but that's a whole other.
Now, we're not talking about noses yet. Now, if you want to get into noses, there's so many things in noses we could spend the rest of the hour. But
sure.
You mentioned eyes. That
yeah.
might be something that you want to talk about.
Well, eyes are the windows to the soul, as they say, and so that would lead me to believe that that would be dealing with a soulish or spiritual aspects of that individual. In terms of their character and how they relate to one another and communicate maybe on those levels.
Right, and actually looking into each other's eyes builds confidence with people. Not staring or stare down is a control mechanism, but just genuinely being comfortable looking in someone else's eyes makes them feel comfortable. There are certain societies that it's rude to look into another person's eyes, but basically, certainly in the United States, it says that you have an honest willingness to be there with the other person. But the spacing of the eyes has a lot to do with timing and how we perceive life. And this comes up in couple counseling a lot because it becomes a big thorn in people's sides, just like communication. The concise person wants less communication and more concisely. The person who wants more communication feels that the other person's not giving them enough adjectives and enough information. Well, in the eye area, the spacing between the eyes has a lot to do with how they get along and how they perceive life. I don't know when you have to go to another
We're
commercial.
Going straight on through.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
So no problem.
Well, if the people will take their mirrors mm-hmm. and look at their eyes and then take their thumb and forefinger to the inner canti of the eye and measure that and then put it over the space of the eye. Now, is the space between the eyes larger or smaller than the space of the eye? If it's smaller, then your low tolerance, and if it's larger, your high tolerance. And tolerance has to do with a spatial look at what's going on around you. If you'll take your hand and put it in front of your face, and then as you bring it slowly towards your eyes, where does it start to blur and where is it comfortable? If you have high tolerance, you can bring your hand in closer to your face. If you have lower tolerance, you're going to see it sooner, and it's going to become more uncomfortable the closer it gets.
Hmm.
So a lower tolerance person sees things quicker. They have a timing mechanism in them, and they just want to get things done right now, and they are very disciplinarian about themselves and about time. And they also feel that you're not being respectful of them if you're late or don't be respectful of their time.
Right.
So if you're working for a boss, you're going on a job interview, or it's a date,
mm-hmm.
and the person has closer sets eyes than you, if you're late and you figure it's only, three minutes, 5 minutes, to them it's going to say that you do not respect their timing mechanism, and you think that your time is more valuable than theirs.
And 1 minute is just as bad as an hour.
Well, you know that from radio, right? Okay, so now the person with the wider set eyes is more tolerant about time. They kind of live and let live, and they get a bigger picture of things, and they may appear to be procrastinators to other people. And if you have what they call a balanced tolerance between the eyes, in other words, between your eyes and the aperture of the eye are exactly the same spacing, that means on a scale from 5 to 10, you're a 5. Now, if you're a 5, it means you have to adjust to other people your whole life. If the person that you're talking with has closer spaced eyes, you're going to appear a little bit more, just not quite as precise about time as they think you should be. And they're going to consider you maybe late when you're right on time or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have wide set eyes, they may consider if you're right on time, like, what are you pushing me for? I mean, don't be so, a couple minutes one way or the other isn't going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And couples often argue about this unless you know what it is. I have wide set eyes. My husband had very close set eyes, so he had a clock in his head, and I knew that I could go to him and say, how much time you think it's going to take when we travel from here to there, or we're doing this workshop there, or setting up here, and he would always be very right on, and he would know it when it was time to leave, so I would always leave that to him.
Hmm.
And if it was dealing with people that he felt were going to take a lot of time up, I would deal with those people because I don't mind, and I get very interested in what's going on with them and can lose track of time, but I don't have the clock in my head. So you put an article, I think, on your
website?
Right, on your website. And that was the first article I ever wrote and ever sold years and years ago. And it was back in the days when Diane and Charles were the wonderful couple of Europe. And no one knew that they had personal problems. But right there I could see that just that one trait, he has very close set eyes, he's extremely disciplined, he's been under the clock all of his life to be here exactly there and to do exactly that, and to say, if he said he's going to be there, he'll be there. And then Diana had much wider set eyes, which probably created a lot of arguments in her life because she was very people-oriented. She would stay and talk with people and chat with them, and the time would go by, and the schedule would be missed. So I wrote that article way back then, and of course, in later years when they talked about some of their problems, that was one of the problems.
Mm. And again, people can go to the website, richarddugan.com, click on Ramona Richards, and that will take you to that article, which I thought was rather interesting, especially considering the relationship and the direction that it went after that, and it just seemed that things just really fit together. Now again, not getting into years here, okay, and timetables, Ramona, respectful of that, what was it about face analysis that intrigued you so that you went into what I have kind of come to realize is you chose to learn this new second language, so to speak?
Well, I've always been interested in people. You know, I feel everybody like you do. I feel everyone has a story and everyone has something of interest. And I've always been interested in all the ologies, whether it was numerology or graphology or astrology, all the things that help us to learn about ourselves as beings. Because if we understand ourselves, then we have much more patience and empathy and a sense of camaraderie with other people. The differences don't bother us because we see more similarities than we do differences because we understand ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that in one of our future programs, it's not next week, but it's coming up, there's a woman that actually decided that she was going to pack it up and move to Egypt, where she learned about the people of Egypt, their cultures, their religions, and so forth. And so we're going to get a perspective from her as an American on the Egyptian people. And that's just one group of people that we may delve into. So what you're saying is rather true. It's one of the reasons that I chose to have her on the program. And again, you can go to the website and you can get more information about her as well.
But What's her name?
Her name is Gina Eck. Or Jean Eck, I believe it is. Yes. Jean Eck. I'm looking at it right now. And again, she has traveled to Egypt. And It's going to be an interesting program. She has written a book that talks a lot about these different areas. And again, you can go to the website, richarddugan.com. You can get further information about this and all of the programs that that we have here on Tell Me Your Story. As a matter of fact, one of the things that she has said in the title of the book that she has written is, "I am happy to know you." And the response usually, I guess, in Egypt is, as I was talking with the gentleman, was that the response is, "I'm more happy to know you," or something along those lines. And that's kind of a wonderful way of putting that.
Yeah. So, yeah, will she be going into ancient Egypt too?
Well, I'm not sure that she'll be going into ancient Egypt per se, but you know, we'll have to wait and see how that transpires as far as how in depth. I'm still in the process of reading through the book and the material, so I haven't gotten it all. But I want to encourage our listeners to go to the website and click on your link, Ramona, and get more information. Now, they can also contact you, even though we're here in California, or whoever will be listening to this interview after it's posted up on the website. They could contact you, and you could assist them in the process of teaching them about personology, or maybe, how is it phrased, do a reading of their face and give them that information?
Yeah, face analysis.
Face analysis,
right. Yeah.
Okay.
The phone number is there, and mm-hmm. It's 24/7. They just need to leave their phone number so they can be contacted again. I do individual face analysis, and I also do workshops on it. And it's fun with family groups because it brings greater understanding. And lots of times people think they're arguing about one thing in a family, but they're actually arguing about traits. And parents really want to do a good job with their kids, but often their traits are dictating to the kids how the kids should feel and act, and they don't realize that the children have very different structural traits sometimes, and it's not easy for them to learn in the same way the parents did. I have a couple of articles, I don't know if you have them up on your website or not, about how children learn new ideas, and it has to do with the forehead area. And if teachers understood this and instructors understood that we all learn slightly differently, and that one thing doesn't suit all. So when you do a class or you're talking to a large group of people, you need to include all the different ways of coming at that particular idea. But it's great for parents and it's great for teachers. And then families, and particularly before you started a family, just for the man and the woman to understand each other, and instead of fighting about their differences, to know that if they have a different timing mechanism, like we were just talking about, the tolerance between the eyes, close-set eyes or wide-set eyes, if that's different, you can work with two traits rather than just having your trait. Now, I mean, I adopted my husband's inner clock, and it was very, very useful all the years that we traveled the country and did workshops, because I didn't have to worry about the timing thing. He knew that innately, and we always arrived on time. We always started on time. We always finished, you know, it was great. I didn't have to worry about that. And he used my mechanism of being, you know, less formal about the tolerance thing, you know, more easygoing and kind of getting the bigger picture of an individual. He used that with me and with his business stuff. So he had two traits there that he didn't have before.
Now, if people do want to get in touch with you, they can phone you at area code 602-274-2881. That's 602-274-2881. And then you can discuss with them the process you go through for basically doing a face analysis reading for them. You can go through all the particulars again, 602-274-2881. My guest is Ramona Richards. We are talking about face analysis and how you can better understand yourself so that you can then understand maybe why you have some of the conflicts within the relationship you have, why you have difficulty communicating, or maybe why you don't have the conflicts in the relationship you have, and why you have a great opportunity and a great way of communicating with one another, because you have these personality traits that show up in the face that are so, they work so well together. And it isn't always opposites attracting. Sometimes it's like attracts like that works. Is that a fair assessment, Ramona?
Sure, it actually can, or the opposite attract too. For instance, in marriage, the physical insulation has a lot to do with the sexuality between the couples and how they relate to each other romantically. Although they might be attracted, the opposites attract, they're going to have some problems until they understand that they are opposites. Physical insulation has to do this for the thickness or the thinness of your own skin. We have all sorts of things in our nomenclature that when we discuss on things, we say a person is thin-skinned, or that person's a highbrow, or that person has a nose for news, or they're tight-lipped, or things like that. We kind of innately know things about that. But when you look at your physical insulation, that is something that's going on 24/7 every single moment of your life. A very thin insulated person, their nerve endings are much closer to their skin, and they feel changes in temperature, in sound, and in pressure sooner than a thicker skin person does. And I can tell you, if we're not going to a break right now, I can tell you real story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had a couple that came to me for counseling, because I used to do marriage counseling too, and he was a hockey player with very thick skin, which was great for playing hockey,
mm-hmm.
because it took longer for the pain to get through. and a thicker skin person does everything more vividly, bigger. You know, they like more vivid colors, louder sounds, more of everything. It's quantity, and the thinner skin person is more interested in quality, and they feel everything sooner, and it affects them much more quickly and more emotionally. So she has a beautiful thin milky white skin. Although she was a bathing suit model, she was the one that didn't ever have a tan because she couldn't tan.
Mm.
She had red hair and green eyes, and she had this beautiful silky skin. Well, being a hockey player and used to all the rough stuff, he would grab her and hug her exuberantly, you know, very enthusiastically, and she would wince. And he took it very personally because he felt that she didn't care for him or for his emotional enthusiasm toward her.
Yeah.
And when he would stroke her face, he'd cup it in both hands and squeeze, you know, which would make her wince again. It was too much pressure.
Mm.
And when she would stroke him, she'd take her fingertips very delicately over his skin and stroke his skin the way she would like to be stroked. But with all his muscles, he couldn't feel that because his skin was so thick. So they had a problem right there. And, of course, when a thick-skinned person and a thin-skinned person ride in a car, the thick-skinned person likes more air. They want the air circulating and blowing in, and the thin-skinned person, unless they're wearing a jacket, feels all the drafts. So they roll up the window, and the thick-skinned person rolls down the window. The thick-skinned person turns up the volume on the radio. The thin-skinned person hears it sooner, and the loud noise just really makes their nerve endings go, ah, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so they turn it down. So people start to have arguments about this, and all it is a difference in their nerve endings and their response to external stimuli. It's their physical insulation.
And this is, again, the reason we have Ramona on the program, to help us to understand a little bit more about our physical body, so to speak, the face in particular, with face analysis and so forth, to maybe understand why we have those conflicts. And that gets us, if we're able to do so, Ramona, we then can switch out of automatic pilot in some of these traits and characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And start choosing a new behavior.
Right, and understanding that other people are behaving the way they are not because they're trying to irritate us, because they are automatically responding to their structure.
I see. Well, I think that this whole process of just learning how, and as I said before, it kind of struck me as you learned a language, because when we learn to read, we're learning to read these various characters, the 26 in our alphabet. Mm-hmm. I learned in broadcasting, when the computer came out, I learned how to read the sound waves, and I can identify certain things there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you learn how to read the face and its characteristics, and it tells you and speaks a different language to you. So in essence, that's what you've done, is learned. You're bilingual, Ramona.
Well, that's a good analogy, Richard. And actually, if I can tell you another story quickly.
Sure.
We did a weekend Friday night through Sunday night, and we did the different ologies. There was an astrologer there, a numerologist, a graphologist, a person who did face analysis, a person who read lines in the hands, and they all did individual analysis of the various people who attended. And then on Sunday evening, for about 5 hours, we compared all these different charts and things. They all added up to the same person. It's like we're saying, please understand me. I'm this walking billboard, and I give you all these clues. There's even a voice analysis person who does it in California. I attended one of her workshops, and she's wonderful. She walks in and turns her back to the audience, and all you need to do is say your name and ask one short question, and she can tell you all sorts of things from your voice. And then there's iridology, the ology of looking into the iris of the eyes and seeing what is in balance in the body and what is out of balance and that sort of thing. And there's another guy that does, he calls it, it's not iridology, but I've forgotten. I used to have him on my TV show, but he was very good. He could tell you emotionally what had happened through looking in the iris of the eyes. So we're constantly broadcasting, just like you are right now, broadcasting who we are. And if we pay attention first to ourselves and know ourselves very well, and then start paying attention to other people, it improves our communication. It improves our joy of living.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have these little temperamental things of feeling like we're not being understood or being victimized and things like that. Because most people are just doing innately what they're structured to do until they bring understanding to it.
Well, and that's the question we ask. How well do you know yourself? And you can basically create good first impressions. You can harmonize your inner self and outer appearance. You can boost verbal communication skills. You can manage time, increase energy, grasp the meaning of mood swings, improve emotional responses in relationships, and identify and release stress. All of the things that Ramona, you've just mentioned through face analysis, understanding yourself. And you can call Ramona at 602-274-2881 if you'd like to get more information. I think it's a fascinating study, there's no question, and I'm sure as time has progressed, you know, as you say, you don't do this anymore when you come across someone and suddenly you say, oh, well, this person has these characteristics.
Yeah, sometimes people are afraid that I'm analyzing them. I just had a director, I'm working on his movie with him, and I was coaching, and he said, you know, now that I know you do this, are you analyzing me every time you look at me? And I said, no. First place, I don't need to. He took one of my classes. He has wonderful energy.
Mm.
And I feel the energy changes in people. But it's a good tool. It's just like graphology.
You know,
you don't need to take all your friends and look at their handwriting, but if you understand some handwriting that comes into you that's someone you don't know, it is very helpful.
And what I find, Ramona, the only word that I can think of or phrase to describe you in a very positive way is that from everything that you've mentioned, that you've been doing, in addition to the face analysis that we've been focusing on here on the program, you're a Renaissance woman. You have done so many different things in your life, in your short life, and it's you know, and that's one of the things that we hope that people will get out of this program is that there are so many things that you can do. You don't have to focus on just one thing if you don't want to.
Right. You know, I used to do a column called People Watching. It was a magazine column I do monthly. And but if your listeners are people watchers, you can just sit and be drinking a cup of coffee and watch people, and you can't even hear their conversations, but you'll glean things about them. If you're really interested in other people, there's so many ways that we can pick up stuff intuitively. But if you have some of these tools, and there's a whole bunch of them out there, not just face analysis, they will help you to understand yourself and then thus understand others much better. Improved communication certainly improves relationships.
Well, and that's really what we want to accomplish is the improvement of relationships. And again, it makes our world a better place, whether it's just locally or nationally or internationally for that matter. It just helps us to then take the potential that we have within ourselves to create the things that we want. I mean, there are just so many different things that I don't even know yet that I want to create because there are things right here on the table that I want to create. And then when I've created those, I can move on to the next thing. But if I'm bogged down in the stresses and the struggles and the strains of a difficult relationship, whether it's with my wife or coworkers or anybody else, it's like that potential just goes right out the window.
Mm-hmm. Well, instead of resisting the differences between our structural, bodies and faces and heads, if you understood what the differences were and utilized those differences, in other words, you have your traits and now you have your partner's traits that you can add to it. So you actually have more awareness than you had before if you become aware of that those differences are not things to argue about, they're things to utilize.
Well, and I also have a great deal of respect and an admiration for my wife and for her input that I get at times that I don't always expect it, and so I do my utmost to stay open to those kinds of things. I mean, there'll be times when I'll be in the middle of doing something, whether it's a program such as this or what have you, and all of a sudden I see on my cell phone, oh, there's a voicemail, and I'll listen to it, and she'll say, you need to do this or that, or you don't need to, blah, blah, blah. I respect that because she has that innate intuition just as you do.
Well, she's very intuitive, and of course, they say that females are more intuitive than men. Not necessarily so, but I think that perhaps we learn to use our intuitive opportunities sooner in life than men do.
Well, and I do have to admit that it has taken me a while to develop the ability to openly accept and receive that. It used to be that, oh, what is she interfering? Well, she never was. She was never interfering. You know, and I see that now. I see that more clearly today than I ever have. And she is just trying to assist and to help me, just as I want to assist and help her, as we want to assist and help people here on this program through the information that you have. Have you ever had anybody? I would think that during your coursework, as you trained for doing the face analysis, that your face was analyzed as well.
Oh, sure. That's the first thing you have to understand is your own. If you don't understand yourself, how in the world can you understand someone else, and how can you expect someone else to do the work of understanding you if you haven't done your own homework?
Yeah. That is true, very true. And you folks can do your homework. One wonderful avenue to pursue would be to give Ramona a call. She's certainly available to talk with you and assist you through the process, and you can give her a call at 602-274-2881. 602-274-2881 is her number, and she'll be more than happy to talk with you on the phone and hopefully take it to the next level and learn more about yourself and what you're all about. We only have about 4, 5, 6 minutes left here on the program, Ramona, and as you, we go back a ways. We've known each other for quite a number of years. I won't say how many either, but we have become very good friends over the years, and I have to admit that you have been probably for the better part of our knowing each other, a mentor to me because you have taught me so much. I have actually taken a couple of your classes, your acting classes in particular. And even though I haven't necessarily, as of yet anyway, pursued an active acting career of sorts, even just taking that kind of a class Not only did it bring some levels of self-awareness, but it also caused me to do some stretching I didn't think I could do.
Yeah, well, that's going into class activities with other people that are feeling just as much on the spot as you are. But I appreciate the put up that I've taught you things, but no one really learns anything except when they're ready to learn it. I never call myself a teacher. I'm an instructor. I pass on information. And whether the person utilizes the information and applies it is strictly up to them. An acting class can be very scary, but once you get in there, and if you remember the first night, we all made fools of ourselves and laughed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it didn't matter anymore because everyone was learning at their own rate.
Right.
And you really teach yourself. We're all self-taught. When we're ready to learn something and we're open to it, we find we take. It's kind of like a tuning fork. We find the area of interest and the person that's giving that area of interest, and we go there, and then we move on to the next area, and then you incorporate it. You should go out of every class, as I should and everyone else, with more information than the instructor has. Now we have the instructor's information plus what we already had in our own backpack. And then it gets mixed around, and we come up with subtle nuances and awarenesses that even the instructor wouldn't have because they don't have our information.
Well, and I think the other element, too, that we haven't talked about is that in your classes and in others as well, but in your classes in particular, you have made it a safe space to do just that. And I wish that our educational system would do the same, because then I think that we would be learning so much more as we did, as I did in your classes. It was, in other words, that first night we made fools of ourselves because it was okay. It was safe.
It was fun.
You know, and we all agreed. As they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
What happens in these classes stays in these classes.
Yeah.
And that's very important to find that kind of safe space, and hopefully we can find that in relationships as well.
Exactly, because that's what relationship is about, is finding a safe partner that you can communicate with or commune with, and know that there's trust and love and support there. And that happens with understanding, so that's why I like all these various ologies and learning things about ourselves. And everybody combines them differently. And everyone is drawn toward one methodology more than another. But learning about ourselves, I mean, it's the exploring of self is really, really interesting. And it's not selfish because it does give you greater understanding of other people and much more warmth and empathy toward them. I really feel if we understood each other's religions and others' social mores and values, we wouldn't be having wars with each other.
Well, I encourage people to give you a call, and if nothing more, just to talk with you a little bit more about this whole process. And you do so many other things as well, but face analysis is the focus on that we're talking about here today. And
there's also traits in the body too. There's
mm-hmm.
traits in the hands and the legs and the torso. We're whole beings,
mm-hmm. Not just the face.
Not just the face, not just the head.
Exactly. And again, they can get a hold of you through your phone number of 602-274-2881. They can read more about you on the website. If you go to richarddugan.com, click on her link, and it'll take you to that page. And there will be more that will be added over time. I think that people will benefit greatly just from reading the articles, and then of course, giving you a call as well. And I certainly hope that they will do that. And I do want to thank you for joining us here on the program and sharing your insights and knowledge of face analysis and instructing us in some of these various traits. And we will walk away hopefully better people for that.
Well, Richard, as always, thank you for the time that you've given me. I really appreciate it.
I want you to stay on the line. We'll be talking with you after the program as well. I want to encourage you to give Ramona a call if this is something that interests you. The number again is 602-274-2881. That's 602-274-2881. And again, you can go to the website, richarddugan.com, click on the link and get more information. Now, as we come to the end of our program here on this Saturday morning, and it's an incredible incredible that it's almost Saturday afternoon. We are going to be talking to you right now a little bit about next week's program. We're going to be interviewing a woman by the name of Sark, and she has written, among other books, a book entitled Eating Mangoes Naked. A woman of extraordinary creative abilities who is going to share those abilities with us and knowledge that she has to, again, take your life to a new level and giving you new choices, knowledge of those choices, and what you can do with them. I have interviewed her on a number of occasions in the past, a fascinating guest, and certainly looking forward to talking with her again. She does have a new work out that we'll be talking about in reference to relationships. And relationships really are what this life is all about, and we certainly hope that you will join us for that particular program. We have lots of other programs coming up in the coming weeks. We'll tell you about those as we go. Again, a reminder, I'd love to hear from you. Please email me. You can also email Ramona through my email address. I'll see that she gets those emails. Richard@RichardDugan.com. That is Richard@RichardDugan.com. And please make it a point to send us those emails. We, again, I would love to read them and, again, pass them on. And I hope that you will join us again next Saturday at this same time. This program is called Tell Me Your Story, where my guests tell their story, their insight, their information, their instruction that will give you choices and give you knowledge that will help you move forward to achieving the dreams that you have for your life. Hope you'll join us again next Saturday. I'm Richard Dugan. Love to love.